and there are no factories any nearer hardly, any nearer than Fargo, as far as I know. They don't have factories yet there.
I know this.
They have them now here. Here in Minneapolis, and just about everybody on a farm supplements with work. I know Curry, Lenny, tells about where her husband's farm is. And they all work. It tells about so many people working in town that she knows.
Well, in Chicago, people come clear up from Missouri. Mm. To work in Chicago, and sometimes they go back on the weekends to plant their crop. They'll drive back to Missouri.
Must be their women do the work during their weekend.
Well, no, most of the family, they can't live on them anymore, but they want to keep it. They want to have this little subsistence
farm. I believe that.
Farm.
It's different where I am. They want to keep the farm, and they can live. But they live by doing their all by using having machinery, and of course they live on. They've been paid for during those higher prices during the war. They got their farms pretty well paid for. I know Irene's farm was paid for before her husband died. It all paid for. Machinery paid up, and they had a big car and everything. All paid up. And she's just keeping it that way. I don't think she should work that hard.
Does she like it?
Yes, she likes it, so I suppose she should work that hard. She's so lonesome. She says the only time that she can get relief from that loneliness is when she goes out and plows under the open sky. And if that's it, that's it.
Yeah.
I left this nice Irish town and went to Staples, a larger railroad town, a very live place. All the talk was the railroad. People were railroad people, either in the offices or working as mechanics in the yard, in the roundhouse. Day and night, the trains, the passengers, the freight were coming and going. As I go back to Staples now, it seems like a dead town, although there are more, although it is more buildings by far than there were then. Population may be about the same. Of course, Staples, like so many other towns, had two sides of the tracks. The one side where sort of big shots and office people and maybe engineers and the so-called more important people lived, and on the south side where the working people lived. And then out through the edge there'd be some farmers and old folks. There's a grade school building on the south side, and on the north side was the high school, and grades in it, in the same building. It was there, I went there, I think in 1914, and 1912, I suppose. And I taught German and history. That was all. The population was, the students were the children of railroad people and business people. And about the same as pupils are, or were, all over in any of the towns where I had taught. It was railroad work for the men and bridge for the women. I don't know how many bridge clubs there were, but that was the recreation. And, of course, dances among the young people. And a very, rather a close class society. And we teachers were really not in the cards. As I remember, Staples, socially we didn't like it very well because there was no place for us unless someone accidentally had a dance, unless there was a dance for some occasion. And then we usually went, somebody would ask us. So our life centered around the school and our boarding place. I boarded with Mrs. Murray, who was in a way a wonderful person. It's hard to describe. She was witty and quite determined, and in a way very kind. Quite a number of the railroad people, the young men, boarded at Mrs. Murray's too. And so that was a sort of a mixed crowd, and we got to see other people at mealtime.
I think Oscar belonged to the church, and he was on the farm labor ticket for the library board.
Oh.
But they wouldn't. They wouldn't
vote
for
him.
No, they went Republican. And the WCTU, I wouldn't vote for him, from what I gathered. And Oscar was a dry.
Mm-hmm.
He was a dry all the time.
But they wouldn't vote for him?
And I belonged to the WCTU. No. And Oscar was everything that they should have stood for. And they did. They liked him personally and all that, you know, knew him in the church. And old Collarwood. Collarwood, do you remember the name Collarwood? He was the head of all the temperance movement and the Anti-Saloon League, which was nothing but another organization that the Republicans used in the churches. And so that's the way they did. And I'll tell you one story. I called up. They were supporting Collarwood. I called Collarwood up on this. And Benson, as against Stassen. They supported Stassen, of course. So I called up Collarwood and said to him, "How come you people are supporting Stassen? Benson is a drug, and he's advocating. You know, he will do things. I've forgotten what, advocating whatever they were against soon." And this is the answer he gave. "Well, we know Benson is dry, but he is supported by the wets." And I said, "How about the Republicans? Aren't there any wets supporting the Republicans?" He didn't answer me. Then I was at a social meeting in the church, supper or something, and I tackled a Collarwood again. Oscar didn't. Oscar was there. Well, he was social. And I said, "So here," I said, you Republicans, you are agreeing with the saloon interest on the issue of public ownership of the saloons, you know. Well, what do they call it? The saloons being run by the state. I said, you're agreeing with them that you and the wets are really eating out of the same dish. And you know, he got real kind of perturbed and kind of mad at me. He tried to explain it away. I said, you can't explain that away.
Who were the Republicans running against Oscar for the library board? Were they running somebody?
I don't remember who it was. There were two Republicans. And of course, they were all wet Republicans. And, well, now talking about that, I told you how, yeah, the reason that they wouldn't support Benson was that he was supported by the wets, by labor, you know, and they drank. Very interesting. And then another reason they gave against the farm labor program was at that time a sort of a public ownership of liquor, municipal ownership of the saloons. Well, they said, I don't want my country to go into the liquor business. That was it. They got idealistic. They didn't want their country to be in the liquor business.
Well, how many votes did Oscar, does he tell anything like about his running for library board in here?
Oh, no, well, they got the Republicans won. I don't remember how many.
Of course, it's supposed to be a non-partisan
yes,
job.
But the conservatives won. he and this other fellow, I have a picture of him. Somewhere.
Did he campaign?
Oh, yes, they campaigned some. They were on the ticket and, you know, they were
what year
supported
was that
by the whole movement.
You remember what year it was? Was it in the 30s?
When was Benson defeated? I think it was
36.
That time. 36? Mm-hmm. 38? 36? It must have been then. Well, I'll go on here. I don't want to look up. Then I must try to find the notes that I took on Judge. Judge was going strong in those days. And I could go back. And they had an institute, and it seems to me this was in the fall, but I'm not sure. One of those institutes. And Judge was the main speaker. All that, for every day, mm-hmm. he spoke. And I went to that. That was after we came here to live, so it was after 46. And it was so rank. He spoke, you see, on the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
It was so terrible. The way he misrepresented and misquoted and told about how terrible they were, how immoral they lived, and all the rest of it. One could never think that anybody could think up all the things he said. If I had the notes, I have the notes somewhere.
Yeah, they're in one of those notebooks. I saw them.
Huh?
They're in one of your notebooks. I saw them.
You saw them. Well, I could put in a few things that he said. As far as
oh, I don't think so. Who wants to put in what Judd said? I mean,
well, it just shows.
He's dead now. You know, he's politically dead.
Well, maybe not.
I
said as I went out, oh, the women just ate it up. They did. This is in an institute. And, well, I said, if he is right, then all our encyclopedias are wrong in their definition of communism, too. Well, says, well, maybe they are wrong. He knows what he's talking about. So that shows how completely their minds were taken up. Another time, but in spite of that, with my own circle, I got along pretty well, and I got along. But not that Judd conference. I just felt kind of on the outs. Oh.
Oh, here he tells about running for the library board in 37.
Was that it? Mm-hmm. Well, another time, my first church recommended, in spite of all this, the first church recommended me to be their delegate to the district meetings that they had once a month. Mm-hmm. Be a delegate from my church. And I was kind of leery about that. That was after I moved here. And I think that then it was after the war. And it was during the McCarthy days. That's what it was. And I said, well, I will take it for 1 year. But I said, I don't think I'll take it. I'll take it. I saw what it was. It was another one of those closed things. And I remember I brought out the fact of the McCarthy. Some, you know, we could each give a report. And I said some, told about how our rights and our liberties were perhaps being restricted. And I mentioned the Rosenbergs at that time. I know I did that. Well, things went on. I finished the year after a fashion. I went. I took care of my job. And then they said, when it came to re-election, they said, you said you will take it for only 1 year. And they, in a way, they says, we understand that you wouldn't want it another year.
Oh.
Period. They got rid of me that way. They didn't want me. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting. One time I had the division here. When I had a division. And I, you know, I did what I wanted. And I brought in Marion LeSueur as a speaker. And I think that was for the Korean War, or when did she die?
54.
Well, the Korean War was in 49 and 50, yes. Well, it was around that time. And so we had our devotions and various things. And so I told them I had my dear friend Marion LeSueur to speak on this question of war. And she gave a wonderful speech. She knew what kind of people she was talking to. She brought out the comparison between violence and war and negotiation among people. And she saw no other way but to settle any problem except for negotiation. Except
for it.
They did. They couldn't say anything against it, you know.
Was there a discussion?
That, how much? I don't know yet. Quite early. That was during the war. I went to one of the meetings, one of the divisions. I guess it was my own. And there was a woman that told about how she felt about Christianity. And what Christianity had done for her. And she says, no matter how bad the world is, no matter how many wars, and how whatever is going on in the world, I am happy. I am safe and I am happy in my religion. She said that, and she just like this, I am happy. Well, that's the way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm kind of glad to see them. One or two of them keep calling me up.
They do?
Call me up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I think that I was as close to any one of those women as they were to each other, or even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know why, I think that underneath it all, they want the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been so misled, poisoned, I might say, that they don't do the right thing. Politically, they just to the wrong. I don't know.
Well, they belong to a certain, I think it's more of a class thing. They're professional, they're merchants, and it's a class alliance. You know, they're they are successful people, they're merchants, they're, and they belong to them.
Now, when we moved here, we didn't get to go, well, very often to the first church. And Oscar wanted, before we changed, Oscar wanted to go to the Unitarian Church. And that kind of put it off. But we finally decided that we would join the Unitarian Church. And Oscar and I went. Oscar was able to go quite a while there. At that, all our friends were there.
Mm-hmm.
And all the men were dead that Oscar knew over in the first church.
Well,
you see, in spite of this difference, in Oscar's group, there was a Collarwood, and there were some of the other people that were there, and they were sort of friends in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was friendly with them. I liked to go, although it certainly was futile in a way. Well, at that time, there was a, this Tom Payne, that is his name, Tom Payne, and he was a minister then, and they had had a speaker there, some kind of a meeting, oh no, they hadn't, it wasn't the speaker. It was in the church paper where they had written up the most influential people in the world or in Methodism. And among them was Sigmund Rhee. And
is he a Methodist?
Yeah. Sigmund Rhee and that Chinaman. Not Sun Yat-sen, but I mean the, that woman, I guess. What's her name? You know who I mean.
Oh, Chiang Kai-shek.
Chiang Kai-shek, yeah. Those two. And they were great people. They were written up as great and good people. Well, that kind of settled it. I couldn't stand that anymore. And I went to Tom Payne when I told him, to tell him that we were leaving. I told him. And, I said, here they are writing up those two people as good Methodists and proud of them. And he said, isn't that awful?
Oh, he did?
Oh, sure. he agreed with me 100%.
Oh.
And he says, we have others that are doing this. See?
Mm, but you left.
Yeah, I left.
Did he try to get you to stay?
No. Died a little later. And they had a memorial service for him. Tom Payne preached, and he gave the nicest sermon that was.
Well, he did.
Told about how he'd been a leader and that he was the real Christian and all of it. And he did that. He did that at a time when it wasn't too good to come for anybody to come out like that either. I would call it radical because he said so many good things about Charlie Rule, and he had I guess he had taken a position for some of these people that were being deported, and he said he had many church people call him up in the middle of the night and go after him.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, they'd call him up like that. That's what they did. Oh, he told me many things. As far as I know, he is in a church over in St. Paul.
Oh, is he?
I don't know. Nice person. Well, he was completely relaxed in his work.
Whatever he was
I
doing.
Like that.
Whatever he was doing.
Whatever he was doing was all right. He never was eaten up with an ambition to be something more than he was doing. He could do a simple little job in the garden And that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he was doing, and that's what he liked to do.
That's wonderful, isn't it?
And that is a very much of a characteristic. But he always wanted to be doing something.
Mm.
He was never still. Around the house here, if he wasn't at his desk and fooling around there, and of course, he'd find an old book and rebind it, patch it up. Now my books are falling to pieces, and I haven't got Oscar to take care of them. They were all.
And he had just as much. He liked to do the intellectual thing as well as the head with the hand.
No, he did.
There was no split in him about it.
There was no, there wasn't. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, he had an executive ability to run a school. Apparently,
he was a superintendent of schools. He was well organized. He knew where he had his bills and all that. He had a mess in a way, but he knew where it was.
Yeah.
And he kept everything he ever had, ever got a hold of. And I haven't gotten rid of it yet.
It looks like he read all those magazines out there. They're all marked. Well, somebody read them. Those parapsychology magazines, they're pretty deep.
Yeah, he read a lot of psychiatry. I didn't read so much of that. I did, sometimes. I do more of it now.
Those parapsychology magazines are pretty deep. Those are...
Those psychology ones.
The parapsychiatric.
Parapsychology, those are later ones. Those we got through Chester.
They're pretty deep. They're hard to...
They were too deep for me, almost.
But they're all marked up, but he must have read them.
Oh, he read them.
Did he have a deep relationship with Don all the time? Later?
Well, no. And yes. It wasn't expressed a great deal. But it was there.
Don is not like him at all.
Don isn't a bit like him in a way. Maybe he is in some ways. And, Don, I know Don is very fond of his father, but he'd go for months without ever coming to see us.
You wouldn't.
In the early days, you know.
Well, he never became interested in the things that Oscar...
Don never was.
I mean, not even in psychology or spiritualism or anything like that.
I don't know what Don was interested in. Yeah. Well, I do.
Money.
He's interested in money. Yeah, he was. And his wife is more interested in it than he was. Well, I leave that out, though. But, he was interested in music all the time, Don was. And I might say that here, Don did very well at the university. And by the way, when we bought that place, we bought it as much as anything to get some kind of a home near the university. And that made it possible for Don to go to the university. But we never could have kept it if it hadn't been for the Roosevelt New Deal. Because there they got the home loan. So we got the home loan, and that made payments that we could carry. Otherwise, we would have been sure to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a home for ourselves and for Don. And Don also went to the university because of the New Deal, because he got his tuition and help that
way. Was he specializing in music all the time? Was he a musician then?
Yeah, I'll come to that. And he had a chance to do some work with the WPA, typing and all that sort of thing, so he could even earn some money and go to the university. And he got his university education with the exception of about three subjects. He got a job, and I guess he intended all the time to finish it, but he never did. But he had a university education. Now, Don was very much talented in high school. He won only second place in an oratorical contest, but he didn't even write it. He described a trip to the fair He's a terrific actor. He would have been if he'd ever trained. He could take the part of a person, you know. He was really very good. Well, at the university, he made the actors, what do they call it? The play, you know, the Actors League, in the freshman year, as I remember. And he also made the university singers. He was taken into both. So he was very busy. And he did very well. He did well all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we were very happy. In those days.
How old was he when he got married?
The first time.
Oh, he's been married twice?
Yes, he was married. He went to Michigan someplace, a big city, got a job with a radio. And he married a girl. They didn't live long together. They just couldn't get along. And the girl apparently fell in love with a man who was rooming in the same apartment that they were over in St. Paul then. And Don was working. Then, by that time, Don had gotten a job at KSDP. And he was there. And they were divorced, and the girl, she married this other man. And then Don went into the war. Into the... What's the matter with him? Into the, not the Navy, but the Coast Guard. And he was in Japan, near Japan, out in the Pacific. A time when Oscar and I, all those many times that we went to see him, and we'd come home. And one time I happened to be sitting with a man from Alaska. And now my mind doesn't work. He was going to Iceland, coming by way of Minneapolis. And he told how he could feel the, what do you call it? The
Northern Lights?
The what?
Northern Lights?
The Northern Lights. He could feel them. He said nobody else had ever said so. But he said the heavens were just all color and moving, and he and his wife felt them.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking about how I'd seen and saw the Northern Lights quite often up in northern Minnesota. And it is so moving to see something like that. I've seen them like a great big wide fringe, scallop, all colors and moving.
Yeah. From Rachel's house in the winter, they're tremendous.
Where?
Rachel's house. Oh. She has nothing in front of her, you know.
Oh.
And the whole sky is...
And she can see that. Oh. Are they the moving Northern Lights?
Oh, yeah.
I think I've seen them once here in Minneapolis.
But she has nothing in front of her to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And some winters are terrific.
Out in the coast, once in a while we can see the moving light. But there we get the most dazzling yellow of all shades. And sometimes the red.
Did you ever see that sun dog where you see two suns?
Yes.
That's the most frightening thing.
Oh.
In North Dakota, I've seen that many times.
That is common. The sun in the center and then the sun dogs on the side.
It's frightening, isn't it, to see so many?
And out on the prairie, the wide, wide horizon and all the sky. I came in 29 when it just hit everybody.
And then they began to cut the school system down.
Well, that was not in Pequot. That was in 32 or 34 when we you see, we were here then, maybe 2 years, but we didn't stay here. The first of the year, we bought that home, that house, at 625 over by the university. Mm. And it was quite a hard year that year. But
that was 29 and 30.
That was 29 and 30. At beginning of 1930, we bought the house. And that is the beginning of the Depression, and the students, or many of them, were going home. And but we stayed there 2 years. And then we went back and taught 2 years in Heinz.
Uh-huh.
After we had been away quite a while. However, we had our pensions and we had some money. I still had some money that I had earned a few hundred in the investor syndicate that I had earned before I was married and I hadn't used.
Oh, you saved it all?
Yeah, but I hadn't saved all of it, but some of it was there. And we got along somehow. We always had plenty to eat and a place to be. Well, let's see now.
Well, now he says that in 32 you really had felt you had retired from teaching.
Yeah.
In 32.
And then we went. We just had this chance. Well, in the spring of 32, I think it was, they had a rumpus up north here at one town. And Oscar went as superintendent and I went as principal for about 6 weeks or whatever it was.
Oh.
And but we had already agreed to contract you to go back to Heinz. And we didn't try to stay. Whether we could have been elected there or not, I don't know. That was an interesting place. Somewhere or other, apparently the teachers had either left or they'd fired them. And the high school teacher, the principal, and the others had gone, had a fight with the pupils and had failed practically everybody. And so
they had real struggles in these schools, apparently.
Oh, yes. And so the kids kept coming to me. Here were the kids, and to us, that we're going to fail if we depended on the marks that they had, you see,
mm-hmm.
that they had earned through the year. And they were coming and trying to tell their story and so on. And, well, I said, all we can do, and Oscar said, and all I could do, as principal of the high school, I says, well, we'll just go right on from here and see what you can do and how much effort you make. And then we'll graduate you if we think you are graduating material. We'll pass you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we passed them. Of course. What else was
yeah.
we gonna do?
Were they so bad?
We weren't. Oh, yes, they were very friendly. I have some pictures of I guess I have somewhere some pictures of those pupils they gave them to me.
Were they so bad scholastically?
Huh?
Were they so bad?
No. That is a basic thing, I think, that when the pupils have had a row before, that they after all, they do want to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a better attitude because for selfish reasons or because they want to. And of course they haven't got the antagonisms against us. We're new.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is. And I think if you behave yourself, you can get along fairly well with most people. I don't know how it'd be now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I'd get along at all teaching now, but I did then. And another thing, I often used to think, what if these kids would go on a strike and wouldn't do what I say? What could I do? I couldn't do anything.
They've discovered that now.
Yeah, they have. They found out.
But I'm surprised at all these fights that go on in the rural schools. I didn't realize that they had all these. That's kind of an interesting subject.
It is.
They had all these struggles between They were class struggles, too.
Oh, it's always really pretty much basically a class struggle.
But, yeah.
Because I found that the people of power in the school, those kids assumed that they should be passed anyway. They were a little better than the others.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a very natural thing.
Well, that's one of the main things in the Negro struggle. The Negro has, you know, been, and I think this was true of the poor whites.
I know.
They didn't get the education that they...
I know it happened in Staples. There was I won't mention his name. One boy, this boy's father, he was taking Latin. I don't blame him much for not getting it, but he didn't study it. His father was a superintendent of the railroad or yards or something. He was a big shot, superintendent of the office in the railroad. And he didn't. Well, I told him finally towards the end, I said, you're not going to pass. You're not going to pass. You've got to, but I'll give you a chance to make it up. And then he accepted that. I know his name. And I did, and he made it up. He had to. And now the point of it was that he didn't, he just thought he didn't have to study that. And what happened was that I remember many years later, I happened to be in Chicago, and I met him. I met Bob in the station.
Well,
and he was so glad to see me and everything. And here when we had the reunion of the class, and I was there. He lives over in St. Paul, and we're the best of friends. So they will accept it when they have to. But you can't flunk them and make it final. You must always give them an out. And if you do that, then they know you're fair.
Did you have trouble with people having to work in the harvest, the kids, and leaving school?
That the teachers having to what?
Didn't the pupils have to work in the harvest and leave school at some time?
Oh, well, up at Cambridge, they had potato vacation when they had to stop. They had vacation for all of them.
Oh.
And, no, not specially.
But what did they do on the potato vacation?
Pick potatoes.
So the whole school would close down?
Well, they closed the school because they had their kids picking potatoes. There were a lot of potatoes raised over there. I know they had that. That fall of 1918, was that the flu year?
Mm-hmm.
They had both, they had no more than had they finished the potato vacation. Then we had a flu vacation. Everybody had the flu. So many were dying.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home for potato vacation. I no more than got back when I went back home for the flu vacation.
Well, then did they go make it up in the spring?
You kind of make it up. You have to cover the course of study, or we did. What they do now, I don't know.
Well, is there anything else you'd like?
That I graduated from college, and I didn't have one. The only thing I studied was when I had to read some books on education before I took the teacher's examination for country teaching. And I did not, I remember I have that yet, Page's Theory and Practice of Teaching. And I haven't looked it over since, I guess. And so college graduates, they just get their certificates. And they may not know one thing about methods of teaching. And I think that's also true about teachers in universities. I had had a course in psychology, but it didn't exactly refer to teaching until I took a course in the summer. So, I think you can make a lot of mistakes. In the normal school, your education is with a view to your handling of people and pupils. But at college, you start in from scratch. You don't know anything. You know your subject, but you don't know your pupils. Mm-hmm. And I think that's bad. I think maybe now they have to learn to teach, too. I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I suppose...
Well, they have supervised practice teaching now in college.
Yeah.
Almost a year of it.
Yeah.
And you have
but
to practice.
But we didn't have anything like that. We were given our certificate to teach for life on our diploma. So, for one thing, I suppose I expected less of my pupil each year that I taught.
You did.
Had more sympathy with them.
Uh-huh.
At first I compared them in high school with myself, maybe, and demanded. I didn't demand it, but I sort of thought they ought to try. That's one thing about education, about my experience.
The whole idea was to get away from that life.
Yes, and that's what I like, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I got into a place where, I enjoyed studying and reading, and I enjoyed it. I guess I enjoyed achieving it. Now, I was no mathematician. I didn't care for that, and I enjoyed learning it anyway. I enjoyed even trigonometry, although it was kind of hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Geometry, enjoyed it. But what was it? That had nothing to do with me, really.
Mm-hmm. Or Latin.
And I remember we had a course in astronomy. Of course, that should go into where I'm going to tell about the college life. I haven't told that, really. And the professor there, gave us mostly mathematical astronomy, completely outside, beyond me. You know, how you measure and how you measure distances and such. Well, we had some descriptive astronomy too, you know, so on. And some of us, we didn't know how we'd ever come out with examinations because we didn't know anything about it. But what he did mercifully was to give us, our test was completely in descriptive astronomy. So we all passed. I guess he knew we didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that I think is an important part of your development, as well as the development of everybody, of how culture came. See, we had an idea that European culture was the main culture.
It was.
And the American culture was not anything.
We knew more about English history than we ever knew about our own.
Mm.
And the only thing we knew about our own history was the Atlantic frontier, the 13 original colonies.
Yeah.
We hardly went anywhere else. It was after I had finished college and I took a course with Dr. Turner from Madison on the Westward Movement.
Well, that didn't come in until after the First World War.
Yeah, I know.
Really.
Well, it came in 1912 that that I took that. Took it at the time that Wilson was elected then.
That was probably the socialist influence.
Huh?
That was probably the socialist influence.
Yeah. Anyway, there was the Westward Movement. Beautiful outline. But I had it at school. And the schoolhouse burned down one night, so I lost that. And a whole lot of my little German classics. I was teaching German then.
Well, that just continued with the farmer labor party.
Especially from Milner. And but when I went to teach in Minnesota, while I was always a nonpartisan league person, as far as that's concerned, but I didn't exactly connect it up with the farmer labor development here in Minnesota because I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we took the Minneapolis papers most of the time, and what they told wasn't very much. I believe they were worse then than they are now. And we had no radio, we had nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it should be brought up, when people are backward, they're backward because no knowledge gets to them. They have no source.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think of a certain person that doesn't seem to know anything. But what can she know? She never read those things that I read and has no contact. Well, that's
where the radio and TV have
huh?
That's where the radio and
even a reactionary like Nixon and the people that can think at all hear what he says and they can reason whether they like it or not. And then these people that are, when Johnson gets on there and supports the war, and people that don't I suppose millions were educated when they looked at that Democrat convention.
They couldn't hide it.
You can't cover it. So I hope that means something. Lived here in the old home, and the Depression was hitting pretty hard all at once. That fall, well, we stayed until Christmas, and by that time we had bought this house. During that time, we bought this house on the campus, 625, we call it. And we moved there. But at that time, there were no rumors. They'd all gone. The marshals who had it had boys, and for some reason or other, they had left them. So I decided to have girls. And I did get a few girls through the winter, and together with whatever we had.
Had you both retired now from teaching?
Yeah, we had retired.
You didn't expect to teach again.
We had retired. We had both had pensions, teachers' pensions. But that was only $250 a month. Wait a minute. I've forgotten how much it was. $250 a year.
Oh, yeah.
A piece made 500. Oh. We were supposed to get 500. Well, that's kind of a story in itself. Of course, we retired under the 1915 pension law. We were the first ones. And I might as well tell that later on. So all we got was half of what we expected to get, but that made 500 a year. For the two of us, and that is a little bit, and little bit went quite a ways. Well,
did you have to pay much down on the house?
As I remember, I had some money left in the investor syndicate, mm-hmm. and I think it was $150, and we paid that down on the house.
Oh my God! I know you could buy a house with that much down.
Yeah, and that's all. You see, that's pretty bad. And of course, there's this heavy, heavy mortgage then for the whole thing.
How much? Then you had to pay a month.
I don't remember how much we paid.
So much a month on
we had to pay so much a month. And in those days, probably, it was a lot. And I'll come back to that later. It is a new deal that bailed us out and made it possible for us to keep the house.
Yeah.
And so many people owe so much to that new deal. Well, we got along. Oscar went to work. I don't know how early, and that's following summer. We had a new car, and he went to work for the unemployed, what they call the unemployed over in the Methodist Church, the organized unemployed.
Oh.
And they had an organization there. They had a real store somewhere. Methodist had it, and you could just about buy anything you needed.
Oh.
And different dealers just contributed to it. I know we got our bacon and a lot of things, even coffee. It went on a barter deal. We worked and earned the script. They had script.
Oh.
And in that way, that helped.
This was before. This was before the New Deal came in.
Yeah, this was right away.
I didn't know that.
That happened. Oh yes, that was the organized unemployed.
The Methodist Church started.
Part of Dr. Mecklenburg's. It was his idea.
Oh, it's his idea.
And they had worked it out very well.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
And I remember I wore a sweater that I bought there for about 25 cents. For a long time. It's a nice rose colored one. So we could get bedding and all kinds of things there. Well, and of course during that time, Roosevelt, let's see, who was elected that? That was when Roosevelt was elected.
32.
That was later in 32. And I remember that campaign. We were what we'd call liberal Republicans. Somehow or other, my nonpartisan league training didn't hold over. And I wasn't accepting Al Smith, either, the Democrats.
Yeah.
And Oscar wasn't either. I don't know. It was just a kind of a year of confusion.
You're talking about 28, 29.
Oh, I guess I'm talking about that then. Yeah.